Hello and welcome to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. The Biden administration has allowed Israel's genocidal assault on Gaza to become a horrific spectacle for the entire world to watch. The U.S. administration knows exactly what Israel is doing and what it wants to achieve. Biden is a willing participant to this unforgiving crime. Crosstalking Palestine, I'm joined by my guest Lionel in New York. He is a legal and media analyst. In Columbus, we have Misty Winston. She is an activist and host of the Action for Assange podcast. And in Reston, we have Michael Maloof. He is a former Pentagon senior security policy analyst. All right, Crosstalk rules in effect. That means you can jump anytime you want, and I always appreciate it. Michael, let me go to you first here. Let's just talk about the dynamic now between the Biden administration and the government of Netanyahu. Who's leading whom? Who's making the suggestions? Who's following? Oh, excuse me. Let me interrupt myself. Politico has just reported that this year AIPAC is reportedly prepared to spend $100 million to defeat candidates who are not, quote, sufficiently supportive of Israel. Is that the answer to my question, Michael?
Well, I think it is. It clearly shows that Netanyahu is in charge. He has threatened to go into Rafah, for example, which is where most of the Palestinians are cooped up into right now, and he doesn't seem to care about their safety in any way, shape, or form. And the Biden administration is saying this morning, "Well, we are against that. We are opposed to you doing that." Well, what are you going to do about it? They're doing nothing. They're doing nothing, and Netanyahu knows that they will do nothing, and that and be given that kind of strength. It's not only the Israeli lobby in the Congress, but it's also the defense contracting lobbies that are pushing for the United States to stay the course with Israel, because they make the money. They're making tons of money off of this. And consequently, they're the ones who are, that's why you're not going to see anything done. And I think that Netanyahu, knowing that he has the administration by the tail here, he's going to continue on. It helps preserve his political standing as well as his personal safety, because if his government falls and he has extremely radical cabinet that is saying if you don't do what we tell you to do, we're going to drop out, and that will bring down his government. He can't afford that.
Yeah, well, Michael, his treatment of the United States as benefactor is actually helping him in Israel. People are rallying around him, even though he's very much disliked here. So the law of unintended consequences, as it were. You know, Misty, Chuck Schumer came out with what people are saying was a game changer. You know, it was actually very pathetic, because, again, it's just kind of wagging your finger. And, again, American foreign policy always likes to personalize it. It's Putin. No, it's Xi. It's Netanyahu. No. Okay, in the case of Israel, it's the policy of the Israeli state, and it's called Zionism. Okay, that is the problem here. But, you know, the fact that Schumer did make his statement, again, was quite pathetic. He's painfully aware that the Biden administration has put genocide on the ballot. Misty.
100%. Yes, you're right, Peter. And I think that that's all that this was from Chuck Schumer. It was election year pandering. I think that the Democratic Party is very well aware of the polling numbers and the approval rating that President Biden is suffering through right now. And I think that they are doing their very best to try to walk that fine line where they give the tepid criticisms and they do the finger wagging that you mentioned towards Benjamin Netanyahu and the policy of the Israeli government currently in Gaza and the West Bank and in Rafah and really just Palestine in general. But I think that, yeah, it equates to nothing more than election year pandering. If they actually meant any of the things that they were saying, the United States could very quickly draw this thing to a conclusion, very quickly. All it would need to do is end the aid, military and economic aid to Israel, and this thing would be over with within a week. There is no way that Israel could continue the onslaught and the slaughter of Palestinians without the aid of the United States. And so I think that it's just really cynical, you know, just that election year pandering. I think and we're going to see that continue as the desperation sets.
Yeah, in lieu of action, they're going to get a lot more words. That's all they know how to do is to talk the talk. That I, you know, Lionel, you know, these airdrops of ready-made food, and then the peer idea, which came from the Israeli side, came from Netanyahu, not from the Biden administration here. I mean, Joe Biden is pathetic on a good day, but when he's in front of the media, they can't even press him hard enough to say, well, you're giving weapons to Israel to bomb civilians and you're dropping food from the air. What's your priority here? You can't believe in both simultaneously. Lionel.
You know, Peter, we've had bridges in our country. There was one where it just collapsed. I think they're still waiting for that because of all the red tape. And I think the Biden administration gave out $200K for the Havana syndrome, which doesn't exist. So it's weird about trying to get something done in this country. But I've got to say something before I forget. You know, we never talk about the Republicans. And I would ask you, I'm sure you've seen it, there was a recent interview with Jared Kushner.
Oh, I was going to mention it. All right, but go ahead. You stole it from me.
We always do this, Peter.
Go ahead. You always read my mind. What are we 10,000 miles away, and you do it to me every show.
Right.
Go ahead.
Me and Gordon Lightfoot, if you could read your mind. He talked about Gaza, and Jared Kushner, and without missing a beat, said, you know, that's a great place for, and I took notes of this, waterfront property. He said, you know, had they used the money instead from building tunnels and used it for education, things would have been better. He said, Gaza is very valuable waterfront property. And he said, and for whatever reason, there were refugees. And he said, Gaza is a construct. It's like this idea. This is 4,000 years from the days of Pompeii, Alexander the Great. And by the way, the antiquities, again, that were missed and lost and destroyed. And very and just finally, when they said, well, what about dealing with the Palestinian Authority? Oh, no, that would not be a good idea. No, we're not going to do this. And there's this idea that, and I don't want to hog this, but he said that if you were to, in any way, deal with the Palestinian Authority or talk, this would be encouraging them, rewarding them. Now imagine if during the course of any other war, if during Germany somebody says, you know, Berlin has some wonderful waterfront. I mean, this now, and I tell people, I said, this is the Republicans. You always knew they were certainly felt a certain simpatico with the Israeli government, but waterfront property?
Yeah, but Lionel, this goes back to what we've been talking about now for a half a year on this program, and I'm always thankful when you come on. But what the Israeli lobby has wanted to do, it wants every American to think in terms of Zionism, and that's why it crosses the party lines, okay? I mean, let's Jared Kushner, I'd hoped we'd seen the last of him, but this is what he said. He said this at the Kennedy School of Government, okay, this is a praises, quote, very valuable potential of Gaza's waterfront properties here. Michael, but that is the mindset of the elites that we have. I mean, I don't care about Republican or Democrat whatsoever. They're equally bad and toxic for American politics. But that's the mindset here. And I watched the video right before I came to the studio, and it's very calmly done. It's very matter of fact that this is a real estate problem. Michael.
Well, for Kushner, he's personal friends, family friends with Netanyahu. So he's going to back him 1,000%. Does that mean that Trump is going to be following him? But before I get into that, that's for another conversation. But what Schumer demonstrated was something intriguing. He's basically saying that the Democrat Party of wokeism and what have you doesn't agree with the principles now that Netanyahu and Israel are following of killing everybody and this genocide that's occurring. It's against our values. And he also sees an election coming up, and the Democrats are split, especially the younger people, as a consequence against the Biden administration. And I think Schumer is worried that events are heading in this direction, adversely affecting the Democrat Party at this point. And this is why he was basically coming out the way he was. But all in all, they do support the concept of Zionism. He talked He talked about a Jewish state. He still wants that Jewish state concept, and no other religion in the world has a country to itself. Nobody.
We're really lucky to have Misty here to kind of represent, because of the three gentlemen on the program are much, much older here. Misty, I'm going to give you a proposition here. If younger people in your cohort, for example, if they know that they're being lied to about a genocide that's being committed in real time, which you can watch live if you so wish, but people of your generation, if they're going to lie to you about this, wouldn't it be fair to assume they lie to you about everything else?
Yes, and Peter, well, I love you, and thank you so much for saying that. I'm not all that young, so I'm not, I'm not like a Gen Z or anything like that, so I can't speak to that generation and how they're viewing this from a personal level. But I know that my generation, I mean, we, at least from my own experience, we have kind of grown up in the age of technology, and we've seen that kind of blossom. And I think that that's what's so interesting about what's happening here is that with the advent of social media, we are, in fact, able to watch this play out in real time. And I think what's also really important is that not only are we able to watch it play out in real time, but we're able to debunk the lies in real time. And I think that there have been numerous coming from Israel. And I think that that has really been effective in my generation and probably with the younger generations as well, because they are so, as they like to say, terminally online, that I think that that has really broken the seal. That's kind of lifted the veil off of Zionism and off the state of Israel, because so many of the lies have been exposed. And then that has caused people to go back and look at previous instances and previous sets of propaganda that we have been, force-fed through the Israeli government. And I think that that's really what's most significant here, is that Israel has for sure lost control of the narrative this time around.
Yeah, but I mean, but this is going to make people act. I mean, you can tune out if you want, because that's what a lot of Americans do. They just tune out, okay? But this is making people proactive. The number of people writing in uncommitted is amazing. Misty.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And I think that that's what's so, I think it gives me a little bit of optimism, because I think that although there are a significant amount of people who are tuned out, I think that those who are paying attention are going to be those who go and vote. And I think that that's going to really lead to, we're already seeing it, as you just mentioned, that there's a significant percentage of the population that are voting uncommitted. And I think that that is sending a really strong message. I hope that people hold that thought.
I have to break in here. We have to go to a hard break. And after that hard break, we'll continue our discussion on Palestine. And stay with RT. Welcome back to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. To remind you, we're discussing Palestine. Okay, let's go back to Lionel. I want to talk about this pier or this floating bridge that Biden apparently came up with at the behest of the Israelis. The way it's been described in the mainstream is that it's, you know, purely humanitarian. But if you think about it, it's just a way to get people out, not aid in, but to force people out. So expelling the Palestinians still very much on the agenda. And the Biden administration appears to have bought into an idea of, we'll just let them move to Cyprus, or what, you know, what kind of nonsense is this? I mean, the longer you think about it, the more dangerous it is. And essentially, what the Israeli government wants to do is it wants American military personnel to be part of that process of expelling people. What they do is they want to make sure the United States is just as culpable as the Israeli government. Lionel.
Peter, as I told you, the subtext of my contribution is called View from the Fishbowl. And there's a couple of things here that you will never hear on any kind of mainstream media. Number one, the word Zionism. You'll hear eschatology before you hear that. As far as this notion of the pier, I don't think anybody really grasps that. I don't think anybody really sees that one for a different reason. But I want to say one thing, if I could, if you don't mind. There's this other attempt that people are trying to engage in the media, and I appreciate them, but they remind me of this voice from the past, Hiro Onoda. This was a Japanese gentleman who didn't know World War II was over, and for 30 years he was hiding in the Philippines. There are people, I'm sorry, who are still talking about 1948 and Balfour and distinctions between special intent and dolus specialis and whether you can prove general intent of it. It's like, listen, I'm saying, folks, imagine during World War II, during Hitler, we're arguing or debating national socialism and this and that. There is right now destruction, the elimination, the decimation, the evaporation of a people.
Yeah.
And we are talking about everything but this.
Yep.
We have no prioritization. We have no sense of, imagine we're in an emergency room and we have this patient who's dying of an apparent heart attack. And I turn to you, Michael, or Misty, or Peter, and I say, you know, I think his diet probably had a lot to do with this, or maybe lifestyle. It's like, this person's dying. What are we doing? How, we're talking about everything but this. Eventually, and I'm sorry to say this, one day they will say, by the way, breaking news, there is no more Gaza. There's nobody there. This is moot. While you were talking about waterfront property and this and that and the specific intent and the IJC versus the international community, they're gone.
Yeah, but Lionel, you're absolutely right, and that's a very smart way of approaching it. But Michael, the rest of the world will not forget. That is the difference here, Michael.
No, we're seeing in real time ethnic cleansing. We've read about it in history books, but we're actually seeing it, and it's being done by the hands of the very people who yelled Holocaust all the time. There was a Holocaust, and I've seen remnants of that myself in the past. But the reality is that these folks are committing the very same crimes that were perpetrated on them, and they are, and no one is standing up and doing anything about it. And yet we're really seeing it in real time because of videos and what have you, that and media that we have available today. And we're seeing these war zones live in many cases. And people are horrified by what they're seeing. And yet we're being told by a Biden administration in particular, don't believe your lying eyes and ears. What kind of crap is that? And we see it with the White House communications people who enunciate this all the time. And we just say, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? We're seeing this. Whatever his name is, talking about the evacuation of Afghanistan. It was orderly. It was not orderly.
Misty, what was it? Jean-Pierre, what's her name?
Karine Jean-Pierre.
Yeah. I mean, she said quite infamously a few months ago that she is history. I would have to correct her and say, yes, you are in a historic administration, because what is it going to take, Misty? Do they have to put gas chambers in Gaza for people to believe it's a genocide?
I don't know, honestly. I honestly feel very bad for somebody like Karine Jean-Pierre. I can imagine trying to have her job and come up with the amount of spin that she has come up with.
I don't feel sorry. She knows exactly what she's doing. She's incompetent, but she knows what she's doing. Go ahead.
For sure. Yeah, you're absolutely right. But I think that, really what is so interesting to me is that, as you just said, it is playing out on the world stage in broad daylight. Everybody's watching it. It is being live streamed. I don't think we've ever had an instance of a genocide being live streamed to the world. And I think that the idea that people are still denying that it is taking place is endlessly fascinating to me. It's depressing, but it's also fascinating, the psychology behind that, just as the psychology of, the fact that it's Jewish people. Really, it's Zionists. We need to be very clear that there is a distinction between the two.
Yeah.
Zionism is not Judaism, and there's a lot of conflation between those two terms. They're very different things, but the idea that that Zionism has been using Judaism as a cloak to commit genocide when they themselves had to go through that same situation before is also endlessly fascinating, depressing, but endlessly fascinating, the psychology behind that. But yes, I think that the global population, as you just mentioned, is not going to forget what is happening here and who is responsible.
Yeah, you know, Lionel, Michael brought up during the break that there could be a Trump administration in January. I know you don't speak for the Trump campaign, but he's facing a pretty difficult situation. He was a very pro-Israeli president, and his biggest donors, when you go to them and they say, I'm a one-issue man, Israel, Trump's in a tough spot. Lionel.
Well, his believe it or not, sometimes artful, clueless boorishness actually will work to his benefit, because when he doesn't like something, he'll say whatever he wants. But I've got to tell you something. It happens like this. This past week, and Michael, excuse me, Mike, Peter, you and I are from our, we're like Gen, we have no Gen. We don't even have a letter. We're from the Coolidge administration. Well, when we were younger, there was this idea of liberals were anti-war. This past week, AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, was absolutely just brutal when it came to the Biden laptop. Okay, the same person when said, is this genocide? Will you acknowledge this? You and your squad and your Bernies and this, they have been told in no uncertain terms, you even get near that, and you'll be a political
grease. Yeah, I saw the video.
It's
her big red-haired boyfriend was protecting her like a bodyguard.
Yes,
it was really.
But this is their. Put it this way. How does this work? So this was the chance. In fact, if I were an operative for the Republican Party, I would ask Bernie, where are you? Where is there anyone?
Squad. No, they are all cowards. They're cowards. That's why a plague on all their houses, okay? They're cowards. And history is recording what we know in real time. And you can't deny it, okay? Michael, hang on, let me go to Michael. I'm rapidly running out of time. You said that you had kind of a spin on Trump and all this. Go ahead.
Yeah, my theory is a lot has taken place since he was president last. He's done about as much as he can for Israel. But I think he cannot run again if he wins, he's going to be looking for a golden parachute. And where will he look? He's going to look to Saudi Arabia because he's seen his companies attacked and he's going to move them abroad. And I think he's going to follow whatever Saudi Arabia's lead is, and that is to do something about a two-state solution and also to take the borders back to the 67.
Well, Michael, my only reaction to that is there. Okay, let's say, people, it's leaked out. This is what he might want to do if he's inaugurated. Michael, considering the decrepit nature of American political institutions, what do you bet? And I'm serious about this. If he is elected in November, they will impeach him in December before he's even inaugurated. Michael.
Well, that happened the last time. History repeats itself, doesn't it? But it won't matter. It won't matter. And it'll depend upon what the composition of the Senate is. I mean, he was impeached twice for nothing. But
he was impeached when he wasn't even in office, for goodness sake.
I know it.
Details.
11 minutes after he was inaugurated, the Washington Post was predicting his impeachment. So, this is crazy.
Yeah, okay, let me go to Misty here because we're really rapidly running out of time. Misty, okay, we heard the other two gentlemen make their case here, but my case is that we shouldn't have any hope in the political system and in these politicians, okay?
No.
Because all of them collectively have brought us here. That's, if it weren't for the United States, we wouldn't be seeing what Israel is doing to Gaza today. Misty.
Yeah, 100%. And I'm so glad that you said that. That's kind of my whole shtick, is that I have given up entirely on electoral politics. I think all of these politicians are corrupt and corporate-owned. They're all owned and operated by the exact same people. And the idea that even the likes of AOC and Bernie Sanders can't be called upon to speak out against a very obvious genocide, I think, shows the absolute rot. And we've seen what they're doing to Rashida Tlaib, who is the only squad member, whatever that is, who has dared to even tepidly speak out against this. She's kind of leading the uncommitted campaign in Michigan and elsewhere. And so but the AIPAC is going to be spending a very significant amount of money trying to unseat her. So they're all cowards. They're all afraid to speak against Israel because they know that that's where their bread is buttered. And it's just a really unfortunate reality. And it's going to take mass public pressure, people in the streets to really end this thing. And that's the way that it is.
Lionel, have you been following what's been going on with Candace Owens?
Oh, yes.
Well, tell me your thoughts before we're almost out of time. Go ahead.
Well, a couple of things.
One of the smartest people doing podcasts right now. One of the very smartest.
Well, thank you very much. But Candace as well. I'm sorry.
Okay.
The thing was happening, and I must say this very quickly. She got into this debate with somebody who claims she's anti-Semitic, and she basically went very thoroughly like a lawyer and took what he said, and I think he withered on the vine very quickly. Ladies and gentlemen, I am now finding myself in political lockstep with people who a year ago I despised.
Ditto.
I don't know.
Ditto. Ditto.
I don't even know. I'm not saying Candace Owens, whether she is, I'm so tired of being called a Putin apologist, a conspiracy theorist, an anti-Semite, a Zionist. She basically did this, and there is this unique faction. There is this elevation. But put it this way.
Okay, Lionel, you're going to have to hold the thought until next week. Okay, we've run out of time. Fascinating discussion. I want to thank my guests in Columbus, New York, and, of course, in Reston. And I want to thank my viewers for watching us here at RT. See you next time. Remember, Crosstalk rules.